Today on Seculo, President Biden's weakness on Iran shocks America as he ushers our country into World War III.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, folks, welcome to Seculo. We're taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. If you heard in the tease, we now know that President Biden has made a definitive decision on how to respond to the drone attack that killed three U.S. troops, injured over 30, including, as of last report, eight or nine that had to actually be flown out of Jordan for treatment because their injuries were so serious. There's a lot of questions surrounding, again, these bases, how this occurred. We know because there was another U.S. drone re-entering this base, and because that drone, I guess there was some confusion that that drone that was the attack drone was the U.S. drone. So obviously we need to figure out some technology issues as well. It also reminded Americans, Logan, that we have got people very young, reservists, stationed in some of the, if not the most dangerous places in the world, which begs that question about, you know, the low military recruitment. And are we prepared if we had to go to full-scale war?
Yeah, I think that's something that's maybe was a bit eye-opening for people, that not only do we have servicemen in certain areas of the world, and maybe we don't even think so, but you have, like you said, almost these very young group of service people placed in very dangerous situations. As we head into this kind of a looming threat, as you said, President Biden said he hasn't decided what his action will be. We don't know that yet. And we likely won't know that until after that action has occurred or during.
Right. I mean, if it's any kind of attack that uses military assets or drones, is some kind of drone or is a cyber attack, that you're going to find out about after the fact.
You're not given a warning.
Right. If it is something more economic that he's going to announce, that would be something he announces that like he's told the Treasury Department.
And we've seen Iran have to bow to certain things because of that.
Oh yeah,
in the past, I mean, they take a lot of heat when the economy starts, you know, getting crushed.
People hit the streets when they can't buy the bread. And so, I think what we look at is, I know many of you, and it includes me, are concerned that this president, because you just think about what we were talking about yesterday, where Jake Sullivan, his national security advisor, was saying 4 months ago, this is the calmest we've ever seen the Middle East. He's the in the last modern times, that 20 years that a national security advisor has had to spend on even worrying about the Middle East. Fast forward 4 months later, you got our Secretary of State Blinken saying this is the most dangerous time since the 1973 Yom Kippur War, where the entire Arab world countries invaded Israel on Yom Kippur, catching Israel a bit off guard, though Israel did ultimately win that war and see the end of Arab nationalism, which then led to the rise of Islamic radicalism. So this has happened in 4 months because of bad policies that go back to withdrawal in Afghanistan that was horrendous, leading to deaths of 13 troops, a lot of young ones, as well as Ukraine. The fact that there is no end in sight there. You look at October 7th, yesterday Israel said they believe they will be fighting Hamas the entire year of 2024. So that is not coming to a close anytime soon, that war will continue for at least a year with maybe some temporary breaks for ceasefire. So we got a lot to talk about today on the broadcast. Iran has made executions in response to Israel as well. We are going to get into that because, again, they've fired upon us. They make the weapons that kill our soldiers. They're executing people who may or may not even exist and may or may not even be spies. But are we on this path? I mean, President Biden's made a decision. Is the path towards escalation? And even if that's an attack on Iran entities outside of, you know, Tehran or the border of Iran itself. We want to take your calls. 1-800-684-3110. How concerned are you about what you might hear Joe Biden be announcing or learning about how he responds? And we also are looking for you to be ACLJ champions at aclj.org/champions. Make that monthly donate. All right, welcome back to Sekiyo. We are taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And in light of all of this, so you saw, of course, things are escalating in the Middle East, no doubt. I mean, October 7th, we knew that was escalating because, again, you got about a week of worldwide condemnation. Even the Arab world was pretty quiet because of the brutality. And then once Israel started to respond, and now we know from current Israeli leaders, and listen, those leaders may or may not exist a year from now. There's a lot of political back and forth right now in Israel about who should be in charge. I've said, don't expect this to be done like this summer. Like, expect this to carry through all of 2024. So if you think the images are tough now, imagine what this looks like in 2024. And also, I think by then, I don't know how Hezbollah doesn't get involved. How do these other major, I mean, how do they say we don't need to stand with Hamas at that point while they're being obliterated? And they also will gain more sympathy from the Arab world, even countries that have right now those very good relationships with Israel who signed the Abraham Accords, which is why I think getting someone back into office at the White House who could get us back on track like a Pompeo with, you know, if it's with Trump, to getting those Abraham Accords back on track, why those are so important, because they ease tensions when people are economically benefiting from each other.
Yeah, I think a lot of you should give us a call. We'd love to hear from you of what you think this action may be and what your reaction would be if this is a full-on escalation. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. Call in. Talk to our phone screeners. We'll get up as many calls as we can today during the show, because we'd like to hear from you. I think there is some mixed feelings. You look at the comment section that goes on our Rumble channel, on our YouTube channel. Some people are saying, go in there, obliterate them, do what you have to do. Other people are saying, don't get us involved in a war. There is a, you know, kind of a split, specifically amongst probably different eras of conservatives, different eras of politicians. And it's interesting to see the differences from a maybe you're on a Tucker Carlson viewer, or maybe you're a Lindsey Graham person. You know, like, they're so different in the way they want to respond, but kind of represent the same party.
Yeah, and I'd say it like this. I'd say people are very concerned now because we've heard that our military is depleted. They're also concerned about who is actually in charge of the Department of Defense when we had this week and a half where the White House didn't even know the Secretary of Defense was incapacitated and didn't report that, and had a deputy, and we were now, you know, troops are getting killed. We now, with all the volatility in the Middle East, and that Joe Biden would be the one potentially leading us into war. Now, there's two schools of thought here. One school of thought is, if you don't take out this regime before they have a nuclear weapon, then they get a nuclear weapon, and they're able to hold that over your head forever. And are they as, I mean, it's bizarre to say this, as strategic as the Russians during the Cold War, Iran, or are they more nihilistic in the sense that they believe, as 12 or Shia Muslims, that they have to carry out some unbelievable attack on the great devil, if you will, which is Israel and the United States, even if that means a response that would be very extreme. So, I mean, they shoot a nuclear weapon at us or Israel, we're firing back with nuclear weapons, and we've got a lot more of them. So it's a little bit different than saying we'll let them go to a Cold War. On the other hand, can we continue to make sure they just never have those capabilities by getting into their system, utilizing spies? Remember when we totally shut down their centrifuges with just putting in a, it was like a USB.
Yeah, just bugged it out, essentially.
Put it back like 5 years.
Yeah, it did happen. I remember that happened, and that was the thing. It was, oh, well, they're pretty much shut down for years. I do want to clarify something to the people in the comments, because some people got offended that I said old-style conservatives and new, younger conservatives. I didn't mean young as in age. I meant more perspective has changed over the last 20 years. Yeah. A conservative of 2001, 2000.
That same conservative.
Same person. Likely has a very different point of view now.
Probably so, a little bit more libertarian and a little less.
But I'm saying there still are people on those more, let's say, traditional conservative traditional Republicans, I'd say that, from the early 2000s.
Yep.
And even the 80s through the last really decade. And then the shift in conservatives and libertarians over the last, you know, in the post-Trump era.
Yeah. I mean, and the truth is, it's also in that post-9/11 era, in the 20-year wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, are there better ways of handling it, like taking out a Soleimani? I mean, so is that what we're going to see, an action like that from Biden, which is the new head of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard? The moment he steps outside of Iran and he's on some private runway, he's gone. I mean, we don't know. There's all speculation. But what we do know is that President Biden has said that there will be a response that we ultimately will find out about. The question is it one that leads us to more and more conflict? They keep saying they don't want to escalate. I don't believe them, Logan.
Yeah.
Because they're headed into election year. And typically in election years, if you've got an ongoing conflict, very difficult to beat an incumbent, even when people don't like them, because people are worried about rocking the boat.
Yeah, they want it to be steady. They want to have, I mean, look, George W. Bush won.
Once the troops get deployed.
George W. Bush won pretty handily in one of the most, one of the elections I felt like was supposed to go the other way. And I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that we were mid full-scale war.
Yeah.
So it can happen again. You want to take a phone call?
Yeah, 1-800-684-3110. What do you think this response will be, or how concerned are you about the response?
Yeah, let's go to Linda, who's calling in Texas. You're on the air.
Yes. Hi. Good morning. And thank you for all that you have done through the ACLJ. I'm a member. I'm a little nervous here. I'm just so fed up at this point. I'm a military mom. I guess Sean Hannity would call me the security grandma since 9/11/01. I purchased the commissioner's report. I read through, did my own investigation. I have seen that Congress and Senate to that date had received an F, and I feel like they still have an F. And we are in a serious, serious time here watching the Middle East go on fire. I think we have a poor and unfit leader in Joe Biden. And don't hold your breath if you think he's going to do anything about Iran, because they've had these appeasement policies and flushing cash to them. And Iran could just, you know, they'll laugh in our face like Putin's laughing in our face in your Ukraine. They have an open window and they see it for what it is. We had 165 attacks, 10 to retaliate. And then we have this serious, the tower was hit 22 with a drone. And I don't trust Biden. And I don't understand why the Democrats would even want to lead us, because they're not leading us.
Well, I do. I think people are extremely concerned, because do they escalate, or is it something so weak that it's like not even a response? I mean, there's like one or two. And there's a fine line in the middle that I think, and again, we're truth tellers. If we think ultimately what happens was the right thing to do, we tell you. Right now, it's tough to predict this administration, because they have been all over the place in the past few months over Israel, over Hamas, over the Gulf states. And we know they have tried so hard to get into Iran, as Rick Rennell's pointed out. Their lead negotiator got in trouble for sharing classified information, Bob O'Malley, and now he's teaching at Yale while he's under investigation. I mean, they take him right in, even though he's under investigation for sharing classified information to the Islamic Republic of Iran. Those institutions have no problem with that. So that's where they get to go and sit while they're being investigated, and hopefully they get back to government. Now, this is at a time when Iran has said they have executed, this is, Logan, four convicted of plotting with Israeli intelligence, that would be Mossad, to attack a military defense factory. Yep. That's where a lot of these missiles, rockets, and drones that were used against our own troops, that Hamas has, that Hezbollah also has, are manufactured. So I wouldn't be necessarily surprised that some of these countries would like to destroy those. But what's weird is that there's reporting on this from a month ago in Al Jazeera, and just the last day or two in the U.S., and some of the names being released are very similar. Yeah. So you wonder, and a lot of time in Iran, these are public executions by hanging. They make a point. We're not seeing any of that imagery yet.
Yeah, I think that that's something that people need to be clear about, is whatever's coming out of Iran, you kind of have to do some deep diving, and a lot of times you're not going to have a very clear picture. That being said, even the fact they're claiming this should alarm a lot of people on how they feel about Israel.
Yeah.
And how they feel about the U.S. by proxy in that sense.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, folks, we know that Iran continues to be a massive global threat. I mean, we don't even yet know how far this is going to escalate as we're speaking to you right now. We know the president's made a decision and that Israel's caught in the crosshairs. They've announced, you know, this is going to be over a year-long war against just an Iranian proxy. So just think about how strong their proxies are, that it will take Israel over a year to accomplish their mission of depleting Hamas of being a military force. And again, this is not going to happen in weeks. And that's just a proxy of Iran. That's not Iran itself. The ACLJ, you know, we've been dedicated to defending Israel. We've got teams, and we use the U.S. teams, Congress, D.C., We were in Europe, in Brussels, and in London, meeting with the Prime Minister, with hostage families that we took to Spain. We are engaged in this all around the world. And the reason why we've been able to engage in it at that level has been because of your support of the ACLJ, and especially, Logan, those ACLJ champions. I want you to explain it to people because it is so important. This ACLJ champions drive, we're trying to get to, I think it's 10,000 right now is like the goal of ACLJ champions.
I think more than that.
Well, it's the first goal, maybe?
Additional
10,000, yeah.
So we are very excited about this. You can be a champion right now. What that means is you were saying you were dedicated to giving it to our critical battles, our legal battles, and our media battles on a monthly recurring basis. So your monthly gifts make you an ACLJ champion because it's able to help us set budgets and really determine what's coming up. Go to aclj.org/champions. Become a champion today.
All right, folks, welcome back to Secul. We do want to hear from you as well. Now that it's been announced that President Biden has made a decision on how to respond to the drone attack by that Iranian proxy that we believe was out of Iraq that led to the death of 3 American soldiers and wounded over 30, some which had to be taken even outside of Jordan for treatment, so serious injuries. And we know more about who those are, those casualties. Two young women who served as Army reservists out of Georgia in an engineer company, and then Sergeant William Rivers, 46, out of Carrollton, Georgia. This is not me. I don't want to take away at all from their service or their sacrifice, but you do have to question, why are that level of Army reservists being positioned in the most dangerous hotspots in the world? Again, it doesn't like their job was necessarily off base much or where, you know, their engineering, but sometimes you do go off base because equipment needs to be repaired. But are we that depleted as a military that it shouldn't be like special forces there? I mean, we have special forces who are doctors, special forces engineers, especially at these kind of bases that we know can be attacked so easily, so openly by so many different enemies of the United States. I mean, I think that's something we have to really think about when we are considering how the U.S. Is going to respond to this. And we now know that the president has made the decision. We will likely not know what that decision is unless it's an economic one until after the fact, if it's some kind of a military or, cyber, any kind of other kind of military operation that you would not announce before it takes place. So we're kind of left to wait there, but they have said they do know what they're going to take next. I wonder, and I'll bring in CC Howe, the problem may be is the Daily Caller's reporting. I mean, I want to hear your thoughts on this, folks, at 1-800-684-3110, that the Pentagon's special ops unit inside the Department of Defense, they decided, so this is the acronym for the Pentagon's office that oversees their special operations and their irregular warfare, the SO and LIC office. They invited one professor, another, both who are linked to the Council on Foreign Relations, who wrote a book on, let's put it on the screen for everybody to see, they wrote this book on God, Guns, and Sedition. Sounds a lot like, like you were trying to go after the Trump voter. But again, there's a few things you want to ask about. One, why is this the time to be informing the special operations at DOD about domestic issues, which is outside of their purview? That's one thing. Or has it become part of their purview, which would be a whole constitutional issue? And CeCe, you wonder if the Pentagon, and we've talked about this with the Secretary of Defense, even before the surgery and the lack of reporting that, not knowing where he was, that they become so politicized instead of being the least political organization that is, they give their advice, the non-military leaders like the president make the decision and then they carry it out. And now it seems like they are, they're instructing the special operators on domestic issues.
Yeah, this is, I think, another perfect example of the Biden administration targeting and going after conservatives, that they are weaponizing every branch that they can against conservatives. We've seen it at the DOJ when they went after pro-lifers. We've seen it even through the Department of Treasury when they went after people who may have purchased a Bible or have gone to a sporting goods store or purchased MAGA goods. Now we're seeing them use the Department of Defense, where they're bringing in speakers. And, you know, it doesn't take a lot to see where they're going with this. When you look at the title of the book, God, Guns, and Sedition, Far-Right Terrorism in America. So apparently, if you believe in God or if you own a gun, you are basically now a terrorist. And we're going to bring, the Department of Defense is going to bring in these authors to, you know, give a special counseling to people at the Pentagon of how to probably figure out what who these targets are and what to do with them. Instead of, just like you said, we have real concerns going on that the Department of Defense needs to be concerned about. And yet, what this administration is focused on are conservatives.
Yeah, and then they talk about the border. We've been talking about, of course, the Mayorkas issue as that moves towards potential impeachment in the House and then a trial in the Senate. And we'll cover it more as they kind of moves forward. But there's more from the Daily Caller, Logan, because a terrorist that was caught illegally crossing the border a year ago on the southern border, Somali, he roamed free for nearly a year. He was finally arrested in Minnesota just a few days ago. The unnamed individual, who we knew was a terrorist, was part of Al-Shabaab. He was released shortly after being caught illegally crossing the southern border. And again, this went back to kind of our issue where they thought he was a mismatch when they ran his name, which, again, why? Why is that their assumption immediately? If your name's in there, you don't think...
just a common name.
Yeah, right. And why not take a little time?
Yeah.
It's because it's Al-Shabaab, which is an Al-Qaeda-linked and extremely violent extremist terror group out of Somalia. So it checked that boxes. And if it was a wrong name, apologize. He was already crossing the border illegally. So before you let him into the country to roam around, hold him for a few more days and make sure that was a wrong name. Because in this case, it wasn't. And now he had a year to do whatever planning he might have been sent to do. We don't know that he didn't accomplish already what he needed to accomplish, which is put together a new terror cell in Minnesota. That's where a lot of that is based for the Somali community. Recruit
very
them.
Very large Somali
community. So he goes in, he recruits. He may have already done his job before we've actually reapprehended him. This is why when you talk about the southern border, they try to make it about Mexico or Hispanics. They don't want to make it about drugs killing Americans, and they don't want to make it about terrorism. As we know, we had to file that FOIA because they took it down immediately when Customs and Border Patrol was excited about the fact that they had apprehended terrorists.
Yeah, they'd post on their social media pages, yes, we apprehended two people on the terror watch list. They made them delete it essentially because it proves the point that this is not all families trying to get a better life. And as much as we would love to support that, and you want to support families that are escaping, whether even if they're seeking asylum, out of countries where they need it, we're not people who are not compassionate to that. But the truth is, we know that the drugs are rolling in. We know that there are people on the terror watch list rolling in. So it can't be how it is. And I do think there is some bipartisan thoughts among people, not necessarily among politics, but among people. They know this is a true issue.
Yeah.
It's whether their parties will allow it to get to a place where it actually can make a difference and things can change.
Folks, we want to continue to take your calls second half hour, 1-800-684-3110. Rick Rennell is going to be joining us as well to weigh in on all of these issues, including what's happened with DOD, including the potential response by Biden now that he says he's made up his mind on what the response will be, and on this terrorism issue on the border. Before we get to Rick, though, and in the second half hour, I just want to ask you to do this. As Iran, and we know, they continue, and they're on the rise yet again, to be a massive global threat, and they've aligned themselves with Russia, they've aligned themselves with China. So you put those three together. If you respond so directly to Iran, you're kind of bringing those two in with it. Are we prepared as a military for that? I get the idea that it would be nice to do away with the Islamic Republic of Iran, not the Iranian people, but the Ayatollah and the terrorists that run that country. But do we even have a plan to do that? Could we even effectively carry that out without a mass casualty war? We don't know. It certainly doesn't look that way when these wars like Afghanistan aren't coming to a conclusion very well either. But we need the best info and we need the best advisors at the ACLJ. And we've got Rick Rennell and we've got Mike Pompeo as not people who we asked to come on the air, but who are on our team because of ACLJ champions. Become one today, aclj.org/champions.
keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. We talked about a number of issues. They all kind of work together. And this is now that we know the White House has announced President Biden has made the decision after listening to his advisors on how he wants the U.S. to respond to the drone attack that killed three U.S. service members in Jordan, right on the border of Syria, injured over 30. And just to underscore those injuries, about nine or so have been reported that they weren't able to get enough treatment even inside Jordan. They had to be taken to other military, other hospitals. So that's how serious their injuries were. And sometimes we focus just on the deaths. We don't focus on how many people were seriously injured. 30 plus people were. It appears that it was planned to be an attack in the evening because it was targeted at a barracks. This is a one-way drone, so it's kind of like a suicide drone. It's a very cheap to make, $10,000, I think, it takes Iran to make. That's who makes them. They fly fast, they fly low, and they carry a payload, so it's not just the drone crashing in. And in this case, we had a U.S. drone returning to the base, and this drone also coming at the base, this Tower 22. And I guess that was the reason they're explaining why, even though it was picked up on the radar, which is good news, that they didn't shoot it down, is that they thought that was our drone. I'm not sure why it didn't have different markings or what occurred, but the fact is they targeted them.
Fast too,
they targeted them while they were sleeping to get the highest casualty levels they can. And these are not, again, this was not Iran directly. This is, their proxies are able to do this now.
Yeah, let's go ahead and take a call. Let's go to Joanne, who's calling on line four in Ohio. Joanne, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. You know, I think back to Reagan and Gaddafi, even Trump and Soleimani. I'm not sure we have anybody there that's smart enough to make the right choice and then to carry it out properly. I mean, this is crazy. And I do have one other thing. I don't know if you'll have time. Do you guys know anything about these pro-lifers in Tennessee who just got convicted of the FACE Act and are going to prison? I was just curious if you have time.
We do a lot of the FACE Act work, and I don't know if I've seen that one specifically.
Yeah, but to answer the first question, I think that's the concern a lot of people have,
yeah,
is that we just don't have the capability right now, the right people in place to be able to do this successfully.
Well, I think, you know, it's are you going to be happily surprised, like when President Obama came out that night and announced that he made that call, difficult call to send SEAL Team 6 in, to kill Osama bin Laden, which Joe Biden was against. They said, you know, many people said in foreign policy decisions, do the opposite of what Joe Biden wants to do, which makes me extra scared if that was what Barack Obama thought. So there have been Democrats in the past that have taken the right steps in these kind of situations. But unfortunately, he was opposed to some of those right steps and has had a history of doing so. On the FACE Act, we'll certainly look into that in Tennessee in those cases.
I've looked it up. It's you know, our friends at the Thomas More Society, some of those are handling.
Yeah.
Handling, but we'll take a look at it.
Yeah. And you know what? That's a selectively enforced law based off kind of like which administration's in power. The Biden administration right now has tried to enforce it very strictly. Is you got to fight back. I mean, it's laws that are on the books that we believe they're wrong, but they're laws.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's all broke in the last hour. So one, thank you for keeping us updated. Yeah. We're on air and sometimes it's, you don't catch.
Must've gotten
everything.
They must've gotten a news alert that we don't get to look at our phones as much while we're on the air talking to you live. So it's great to know that our audience is keeping us informed too.
Yeah. Hey, we got 55 seconds left in this segment. We want to tell you that you need to support the ACLJ. At the ACLJ, we're dedicated to not only defending Israel, but supporting everything domestically that we can. And we can't do it without you, our monthly supporters, our ACLJ champions. Defend Israel at the UN with us. Help us send demand letters to the UN. Help us be involved in all these critical issues, all the FOIA lawsuits that you hear about, everything that you hear about here on the ACLJ's social media feeds or on this broadcast. None of it can be done. All of it is because of you becoming an ACLJ champion. Obviously, we love when people give single donations and they can do that. That's great. But if you can give on a monthly basis, that sets the tone for the rest of our year. We're over 19,000 of you that have said, yes, I will be an ACLJ champion. And that's an incredible number. Help us get to 20,000.
Yeah.
Help us get to 20,000 right now. ACLJ.org/champions. We'll be right back with Rick Rennell.
right, welcome back to Secular. It's great to have Rick Grinnell joining us, part of our team here at the ACLJ and former acting director of national intelligence. So, Rick, I want to go first to you on the news that the White House has let out that President Biden has made a decision on how he is going to respond to the death of the three American soldiers killed by that drone that was fired by, definitely made by Iran, fired by an Iranian proxy. We don't know what that decision is, and I don't expect that, obviously, you wouldn't want to telegraph that if that's any kind of military decision. Usually you'd only find out about it real quickly if it was more of like an economic punishment or something like that. But Rick, I mean, this is a president who even President Obama said and others have said, you know, he opposed sending SEAL Team 6 in to kill Osama bin Laden. And he also, I think it was Secretary Gates or someone like that, who said on foreign policy decisions, he was always on the wrong side of the issue. So it makes people nervous. One, is he pushing us towards war, like World War III? Or two, will it be so weak that it's like not even a response that Iran cares about?
Look, the one thing that I've learned in diplomacy is that there is a big, huge difference between a threat of military action and a credible threat of military action. We call it a credible threat because it's important to have something that's credible. When you look at Joe Biden yesterday, who at the White House was asked, did Iran do this? Are they responsible? And he had like a hemming and hawing and technical answer. He was not clear. He hedged. And not only did Americans see that, but the radical Islamic regime in Tehran saw that. And I think it was pretty clear that they think that Joe Biden doesn't necessarily say that they're responsible, only that they gave money to these proxies and that the proxies are responsible. He didn't nail them by saying, of course, Iran is responsible. You combine that with really playing this out publicly as to the angst that the administration has over how much of a response to do. And it all comes together to say, this is not a very credible response. This is not a credible threat of military action. And that's the difference. I think our enemies see it, and it's just messaging more weakness.
You know, when we see that we, right, I mean, they might not even be responding to Iran directly. I mean, like you said, the response could be to some proxy group that, the one that they were naming, this proxy group out of Iraq, I had never really even heard of before, and you realize how many Iranian proxies there are running around the world. But you also wonder, Rick, you know, because people are concerned about like this pathway towards just a World War III or much more U.S. engagement with what's happened in Ukraine, and that continues. Israel announced today they believe that the war in Gaza will continue through all of 2024 against Hamas, which then you would imagine potentially Hezbollah being involved, another Iranian proxy. And then you think, you know, it was reservists that we had out on this remote base, if you want to call it, Tower 22, who were killed. That it was not, you know, special forces who were in some of the most dangerous places in the world. And do we have a military that is capable at this moment? And I'm not talking about the men and women that they are doing their job as best they can, but a military leadership that has empowered them to even really think about engaging in a conflict of that size.
Look, I'm a diplomat, and I try to stay in the diplomatic lane on these issues because I always think that there's still a chance that we can solve things peacefully. We need that credible threat of military action, yeah, as diplomats. We need that behind us. We need to be able to say, look, if we don't solve this problem, then, you know, the file gets transferred over to the Pentagon and they are the ones who negotiate. My whole issue is that the State Department and diplomacy is completely shoved aside. The only thing we're talking about is military response, whether it's from Nikki Haley or Joe Biden. They're all just kind of talking about military action. That is going to create a World War III, as you say. And I'll finish with this, is I think that the reason why Joe Biden can't quite say it's Iran's fault and go right after the Iranians, because he's funded the Iranian regime. He's giving them sanctions relief, credit, cash to the tune of $100 billion more, more than $100 billion. And so he's going to be in a difficult position to say, well, they're responsible and I funded them.
And we've got our special ops office. I want to put the book up again. At Department of Defense, this is what they're having the authors of this, both, one's a professor at Georgetown, both from Council on Foreign Relations. But, you know, God, Guns, and Sedition, the far-right terrorism in America, and they're doing this book, you know, reading and instruction to special operators at DOD and the office that runs our special operations in the Pentagon. And last I checked, that is what's happening here domestically is not their is not really within their purview.
Look, when you look at what DOD is doing with these crazy programs, DEI programs and others, it's the same thing that the State Department is doing. They're pushing culinary diplomacy. Let's sit down and have a meal and solve something. And it's literally weakness that they're pushing. It's no wonder we're having recruiting problems. And I got in all sorts of trouble from the left media when I made this suggestion the other day, but I believe it. I believe that we are having such recruiting problems into the military that if we continue down this path of war in Ukraine, war in the Middle East, possible war in Taiwan, all sorts of conflict areas that are bubbling up, if this continues, we're going to have a draft. Joe Biden is going to have to call for young men and women to have to show up and join the military because he can't recruit volunteers enough under his current programs.
That's what I'm saying. It seems like, you know, we've got reservists, not the people who necessarily should be in some of those dangerous and remote places on their own, like on the border of Syria. I mean, and that's how these situations, again, and unfortunately, there's been 160 drone attacks. This is one that got through that killed Americans. Any of that could happen. We know that. And the people that join the military know that's part of joining the military. It's just like, are we putting the best people where they should be with the training that they've had so that they know how to respond and what to look for? I mean, that's also really troubling to the American people when you look at it and say, how do you get to full scale? And the second kind of part of this is when we do look at domestically what's happening, we have someone that crosses the border illegally last year from Somalia. His name checks out on a terror list, but they decide right then and there, oh, they think it's just an accident, and they let him, he's already illegally crossed, Rick, so they could have kept him for a long period of time to check this out, even if they did believe it might just be a similar name. But instead of doing that, they let him into the United States for a year. He goes right to Minneapolis, which is kind of a hotbed of, a lot of Somali Americans live there, but it's also been a hotbed of Somali recruitment for terrorism, and we find out he is the Al-Shabaab terrorist that was on the list who was let in the border, and there was no reason they had to immediately let him in and let him go into the United States. And now they've just apprehended him, and you think, Rick, I mean, at this point, he may have already accomplished much of his mission.
He could have set up his whole sleeper cell that's ready to go, of course. Look, we know that there's been quite a few individuals. I don't even know what the number is anymore, but it's quite way too many, we'll put it that way, that people on the terrorist watch list have entered the United States through the southern border. We're not watching them. We're Joe Biden is literally telling people to cut the razor wire and let people in. You don't get to cut the razor wire and have a sanctuary city where people get to go and safely ignore our immigration laws and then say you're doing everything you can to stop illegal immigration at the border. It is a crisis. And we should also always say this is not about legal immigration. We welcome legal immigrants. It is about illegal immigration, those who cut the line. That's unacceptable.
Yeah, we know it's hundreds just in 2023. There's varying reports, but I mean, you know, 169 in one part of the fiscal year and that was October of 2023. By December, that number had climbed to almost 300 that were on the terror watch list. And those were people that were apprehended, Rick, not people that were gotaways or like this individual who was just let go. Rick, I know we're going to have a lot of questions for you throughout these this week, next week, as things continue to be very unstable in the world. And we appreciate, of course, you being part of our team, and we appreciate our donors at the ACLJ who make it possible for Rick Grenell, a former cabinet member of President Trump's, a former acting director of national intelligence, and ambassador to Germany, spent 10 years also at the UN with that kind of knowledge on foreign policy, who can be an ACLJ team member. And Logan, it's because of those ACLJ champions. And those are folks who have said, and we've got over 19,000 of them, who have said, you know what, I can donate automatically this amount to the ACLJ each month, and then I don't really have to think about it. I know it's going to get to them. Whatever the amount that is that they're comfortable with.
Yeah, you set that amount. I think a minimum of $5, something like that, with all the fees and everything. I think a minimum of $5, you can obviously scale that up as high as you want. So we really appreciate everyone who has joined with us, over 19,000. We encourage you to be a part of that also. Be a champion of life, liberty, and freedom. Give monthly automatically at aclj.org/champions.
All right, welcome back to Secular. We'll take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. And you still got time. If you want to get on the show, you got to call right now, 1-800-684-3110, which is the big question today is, Biden's made a decision on how to respond to the death of the three Americans killed by this Iranian proxy group with a drone. Are you concerned about what that response may be? Either too much of a response that could lead us into war, or so little of a response that Iran continues to fund these groups and kill Americans. Let's go to the phones.
Yep, let's go to Bill, who's calling. I'll hold about 40 minutes. Bill, thanks for holding.
Yeah, Bill.
Listening on SiriusXM. Bill, you're on the air in Kentucky.
Yes, for a long time before the 7th of October, I've thought that China and Russia were planning these attacks using Iran and their proxies, Hezbollah, Hamas, and the Houthis to do exactly what they're doing right now. And I think that it's just part of a plan of escalation. And they're not going to, unfortunately, I don't believe they're going to wait for an administration to come into office to, who knows what they're doing, like a Trump administration. This unfortunately is going to escalate out of control before this administration is out of office.
Listen, I fundamentally believe when President Trump says that Russia would not have invaded Ukraine the way they did this time, if I was president, I believe him. And I think it's right. I fundamentally believe that when he talks about a lot of these situations and says that would not have happened, that wouldn't have occurred, even Hamas in that situation, because of what was happening to Iran and the fact that we had depleted Iran's resources and they wouldn't have had the resources to launch such a provocative and deadly attack that would then lead to a potential U.S. response. So that the world leaders, and I'm talking about the bad actors in the world, like the Chinese as well, were afraid of President Trump. And sometimes, and a lot of the time, you need the world. Like Rick said, to be an effective, peaceful diplomat, you've got to have a threatening military. And I think if you have a threatening president, your diplomats are able to get a lot more done.
Yeah, I think a threatening president, I think, is the wrong word. But
a president who scares them.
So, right, someone who you actually think
suddenly they're signing on to accord peace deals with Israel.
Right.
Fly straight from Israel to the UAE and let's do business together.
Someone tough.
Yeah,
I think that's what it is. Let's go to Diane or Dion.
You actually get less conflict
in Washington,
and less bloodshed, and less Americans die
when you actually have a threat like you said. It's like 1% thought it could really be real.
A kamikaze drone into your car after you get off your private jet that will chop you into a million pieces, Suleiman.
Yeah. All right.
And what was Iran's response?
Yeah.
Well, they didn't have any money then, so.
Right. And we were able to
tweet
in sanctions and all those things are able to work. And we really can do when you have a strong leadership. Let's go to Dion, who's calling in Washington on line three. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I would think at the very least, due to certain events, I would not rush into any military response. I definitely need time to. We don't want a 1979 hostage rescue repeat. So, but I do believe hit them at the core, get a consensus together and get the group and bipartisan group to monitor how those sanctions are taking place and give us time to get our act together. Yeah, so
I wonder if sanctions at this point work because they just got $6 billion. So they've got some money to utilize until those sanctions would really start biting them. They've also got some new allies in the world who need their oil and who don't care about the sanctions on it, like China and Russia, who's fighting its own war in Ukraine that the world opposes. And I think, you know, kind of back to like the last caller, we know our weapons have been depleted. Not like all of our weapons, but we know like Stinger missiles, things like that. Like we're manufacturing new ones, but like if we needed them for our own soldiers, we don't have them right now on the battlefield. I mean, there's issues like that. So you put all these events together, Ukraine and on up, and you've gone through a lot of military equipment. You've lost a major base in Afghanistan that ended with the death of 13 Americans, and that with botched withdrawal. And now you've got the situation where you've got more dead Americans in the Middle East, including as hostages by Hamas, by the way, and now soldiers, and you're having to respond. It's just because he may not seem as chaotic as President Trump because he barely speaks and doesn't do a lot of events, the world, Logan, certainly a lot more chaotic.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's...
And scary.
Well, there's a reason they're concerned with a 2024 election for President Biden. There's a reason there's a push to have somebody else take that spot, even now. It's still happening right now. Because they know...
10 days, we didn't know the Secretary of Defense was in the hospital. And no one at the White House even was calling them. That means they don't even talk.
They're not communicating.
And yet we're funding wars and providing lethal weapons to the Ukrainians. But they don't even talk enough to where... Your Secretary of Defense is, he was incapacitated for a while, then working from the hospital, no one called.
Yeah, exactly. You think it's just we don't see President Biden like we did Trump, where Trump would go on there and do 3 or 4 hour speeches, felt like every day. You don't see that President Biden, you're like, oh, stuff's happening behind the scenes. What's clear is that nothing's happening behind the scenes. That's even the case, where there are people propping it up and making it feel like there's some sort of presidency, but there's really not. And there's a campaign behind him, but there's no energy there. No one's excited. Essentially, the talk of even the primary seems to have completely dissipated. It's just sort of a really odd time in American politics, but also because you have a looming war. You have a looming threat. And that's why at the ACLJ, we are constantly monitoring what's happening in terms of what's happening in the Middle East and also domestically, what's going on at the border. We're involved in all of these issues. If you haven't gone to our website and just looked around, I encourage you to do that. Obviously, we promote go to ACLJ.org, become a member, become a champion, support the work, donate, but also look at the incredible content there. You heard from Rick Grenell, you'll hear from Tulsi Gabbard, you'll hear from Mike Pompeo. We had celebrity guests on. Yesterday, we had Five for Fighting on. They're talking about Israel. There are people who are willing to stand up and really be motivated when it comes to these issues. But you can read so much. You can watch so much on our YouTube channels and our Rumble channel. We try to make sure that the ACLJ is everywhere people are. And I think that's the difference between us and maybe some of the echo chambers you know of.
Yeah, and folks...
We put ourselves at every place we can to make sure this content and that this message gets out there. We can't do it without people.
No, we can't do it without you as ACLJ champions. I mean, we got through a show today, couldn't even get to every single issue we wanted to talk to you about. We're going to have a U.S. senator in studio with us on Friday, and I think we have a lot to talk about there, a lot of interesting things to talk about there. Again, able to do all the things you don't see that are happening while we're on the air, and of course, while we're off the air. It's because those ACLJ champions that we're able to not just respond to, you know, things that we know about, the normal things are kind of we'll plan out that. We're able to respond, as we say, like the speed of relevance when necessary, and we can be at the tip of the spear. And that's those ACLJ champions are at the tip of the spear with us because we know we have the resource. We don't have to think. The first thing we don't have to do is we don't have to think, can we afford to get involved in this? Can we afford to get that attorney there? Can we afford to defend this client? We don't have to think that because of those ACLJ champions, because we know we can count on them, that those resources are coming in on a monthly basis. And whether that's an ACLJ champion who is a $20 a month or an ACLJ champion who's $200 a month, it all matters. And they are all ACLJ champions. You go to ACLJ.org/champions. And Logan, that's where people can go, choose that amount they're comfortable with, and join us at the tip of the spear.
That's right. Do that at ACLJ.org/champions. That's where we become a monthly recurring supporter of the ACLJ. We appreciate it. All right, we'll be back tomorrow with more on Secula. We'll talk to you then.